If you study or know any great coaches or teachers, you know what makes them great. It's not their ability to give the right answers. It's their ability to ask great questions that facilitate thinking and learning. It's easier to just give the answers. It's harder to ask the right questions at the right times and in the right way. Now, scattered out over the next few months, Nate and I are going to do a few episodes on leading with questions, which is something we work on a lot with coaches in our mentorship program. In today's episode, we are really going to focus on just one of the many aspects of leading with questions, and that is coaching or teaching with questions. Welcome to the Coaching Culture Podcast, brought to you by Thrive on Challenge. I'm JP Nurbin, joined by my friend and co-host Nate Sanderson. Each week in about 30 minutes, we discuss important principles and strategies of transformational leadership. At Thrive on Challenge, we help coaches to raise the standards and strengthen the relationships in their program because we know this type of culture produces better leaders, better people, and better results. To learn more about how we can help you, go to thriveonchallenge.com, where you can also subscribe to our weekly newsletter and get the coaching notes to every episode of this podcast. You're listening to episode 148, The Art of Coaching with Questions. So Nate, we're going to talk today about how to lead with questions. And before we can get into the nuts and bolts of actually how to do that, I think we need to step back and say, what exactly does it mean to lead with questions? Well, there's a few ways that we can do this as a leader, but in a kind of an overarching, you know, way, we can lead with questions by just continuously using questions to engage with people in our program, within our organization, rather than coming in and always being the guy with the answer. I think that's just a really powerful thing. When we're building our culture, we're kind of rolling out our vision, our standards. There's a value in starting with questions and eliciting people's response or looking for their response or what they see as maybe your visions or the way you want to do things. I also think there's incredible value when it comes to relationships, right? Relationships aren't built on what we know. I think there's built on connection, okay? And listening to the other person. Well, you have to use questions to build relationships. But in today's conversation, I think we're really going to focus on how we can lead with questions specifically in practice. You know, like we just came off those couple episodes with Mark and Alan, and they're very skillful at asking players questions. And it's a very effective teaching form that is probably contrary to the way that many of us have coached in the past, which is to come step in and give our players the solution or tell them what they need to do. And so in our conversation today, we're going to talk a little bit about why it's really important, some of the many obstacles that coaches encounter when they try to incorporate this leading with questions into their own coaching practices. And then lastly, some just simple tips that are going to help coaches to effectively implement this.
Well, JP, there's a ton of research out there, both in the educational field and in the sports world, that would indicate that when players are able to discover solutions or answers to problems on their own, rather than have those answers told to them or provided to them, that their retention of those answers and solutions tends to be more lasting over time. And when we think about what we want our players to be able to do, the skills that they want to learn, it's not just technical or tactical. We want players to also be able to problem solve on their own. I remember coaching in the state tournament, we would always tell our players as we were preparing for playing in this big arena, Wells Fargo Arena in Des Moines, that there's going to be a point in the second half of the game where you're going to have to defend at the other end of the floor, and you're not going to hear the coaches and your teammates yelling out coverages and watch for this and calling out plays. You're going to have to be able to solve those solutions or solve those problems on your own. And one of the ways that we prepared for that or for those moments was to be able to present problems to our players in practice, encourage them to find their own solutions, and guide them through that process by asking questions. And we're going to share a little bit more detail about how we did that here in a bit. But real quickly, before we dive into that, I want to just address maybe the two main arguments that sometimes we get or the pushback that we get from coaches about using questions, particularly in practice. Number one, it feels like it takes more time. I was in a workout yesterday morning, as a matter of fact, working through a couple shooting drills with some new players and trying to use questions to help them discover why our teaching points were important, how they catch the ball and the positioning of their feet, rather than just telling them. And as I'm doing this and I'm waiting for them to come up with the answer that I'm looking for on their own, inside I feel like we are wasting time. Like, what should I just tell them so we can get to the next drill? And truth be told, there's always going to be part of you that is thinking that in the back of your mind when you're using questions in practice. And the thing that I want to encourage coaches is, it may feel like that on the front end, but on the back end, when they begin to problem solve on their own and find solutions on their own in live play, that the benefit of that is actually it makes them less dependent on you. It makes you more efficient because they're able to start doing those things on their own. What they often need in the beginning is a guide. And we do that. We provide that structure. We provide that way forward by asking great questions. And the second thing, JP, that I think is challenging for coaches, and I know is for me, is trying to figure out what's the right question to ask in the moment. You know, because you can't really predict where your players are going to be at, you know, what they still need to discover, what they already know, until you're in the middle of a drill or a game or a competition, right? And so it's tricky. It's an art form to be able to first analyze or scan, as Mark and Alan would say, to identify, okay, here's the point of learning or teaching, but now how do I engage them with questions? That can be a challenge as well.
Yeah, and I think that challenge for many of us as coaches is we try to approach questions like a science. Like, what's the right question I ask in this situation? And like you said there, it's more of an art form. I think about my evolution as a coach, specifically tied to how I've evolved over the years at using questions. And I think early on, I was more what we would call low order questions as opposed to high order questions. Think about when a player takes a bad shot. Well, as a coach, a novice young JP, when they take a bad shot, they come out of the game, I ask them the question, was it a good shot? Well, when I ask that very question, was it a good shot? I mean, we already know what the answer is to that, because I don't ask that question if it was a good shot, right? They already know it. So it's a redundant question, and it's honestly just putting them right onto the defensive in that, right? It's just much more attacking our players. Well, high order questions, which require a little bit of thinking, they're not all great either, though, right? There was times where I'd pull a player out of the game and I'd say, why did you shoot that shot? Well, obviously that's a little bit more higher order thinking type questions, but it's still a very passive aggressive, you know, move by me as a coach. I'm not really asking for their reason for it, because I'll just see that as an excuse. So you try to move to higher order questions that are actually genuinely getting them to think about solutions and good solutions. So I really started to work to asking more questions like, how can we get a better shot next time? Or what could you have done differently in that situation? And so you're really trying to take the player and those questions from the past and start thinking more positively towards the future and getting them to problem solve in those ways.
The issue of shot selection in basketball is a really easy one for us to understand. And if I was working with you in our mentorship program, maybe the first thing I would tell you is, we're not going to use questions as a sword. Like, it's not a blunt force object to make a point. You have to think about yourself as an educator. How do I use questions to draw out the answer or to get my players to discover for themselves whatever the learning is that I'm trying to get them to, right? And that's, we think about this as an art form. I think part of the thing that's hard about it is, you go back to what Alan and Mark constantly talked about in our last series of interviews with them, is the idea of scanning. It isn't just finding the right words or the right question or the right way to ask the question. It's the right question asked in the right way in the right moment, right? In other words, I need to think about, what does my player need to know right now? And what do they not need to know? And how do I draw that out with a question? So, what does all that mean in the context of shot selection? Well, let's think about this. Let's imagine the scenario here. We're in scrimmage in practice. A player comes down on the wing and they jack up a three. One pass jack from the wing in transition, and they miss it badly. So we pause and we want to reflect on the shot selection, okay? Well, taking that shot, as we talk about in basketball all the time, shooting is a decision, right? So what goes into the decision? Well, first of all, again, part of my scanning is understanding the player that took the shot. I'm asking myself, do they understand that this was a bad shot? And if they don't, then the question needs to really come back to, why is that a bad shot? And that can be asked to the player or to the team or everybody to think about for 10 seconds, and then we give a response. But if they don't understand it was difficult because they were running or their feet weren't set or it's outside their range, or maybe it was contested, or maybe the ball goes ahead to the wing and our big guy was running down the middle of the floor and he's wide open at the rim, and yet we jacked this contested three instead of throwing it inside for the easy layup, okay? So why was that a bad shot pulls out the understanding, the distinction between good shots and bad shots. Maybe that's what the team needs to talk about. Maybe it isn't, right? Maybe they understand immediately that was a bad shot. So I don't need to keep going back and dwelling on it. Maybe the issue there was they didn't see the postman in the middle that had the wide open layup. So now the issue is perception. So now I might ask a question of from the other players, hey, what did Johnny not see when he caught the ball in the wing? Well, he didn't see Fred running down the middle of the floor with his hand up going to the rim. So I'm trying to now ask questions that draw out a greater perception of the environment. It wasn't that it was a bad decision. It was that they didn't see enough information to make a better decision, right? And that brings us to the third piece here, just in this one simple example. Maybe they did see Fred running down the middle of the floor and they chose to shoot it anyway. Now, they might have a good rationalization for that, that, hey, coach, I get three for this. Fred only gets two. But I also thought if I miss it, Fred's probably going to clean up my mess. So maybe there is some, you know, a good justification for taking that shot. But if they understood what a good shot and bad shot is, they perceived that Fred was in the middle of the lane, and they just made a decision maybe that the team doesn't agree with because we want the higher percentage shot, then really the question has to come back to the decision. And again, how do I know which question is right? How do I know which of those three areas I start to probe with questions? Well, I have to understand my team. I have to understand the player. I have to understand the moment, right? And what was, again, the components that led to the bad shot, right? And that's really the art form, not just in asking the question, but recognizing the moment and what the player needs in that time. So I think, JP, in this simple example, it really illustrates the artistry, right? It's a matter of the moment. It's a matter of the player and what they need. And it's a matter of understanding what do you want to draw out of them that's going to make them better for the next play in that moment in your practice. And that's what can become so challenging when you start to try to lead with questions.
So another common problem that I know many coaches face when they start to use questions with their players is you get the excited, enthusiastic bunch that when you ask the team a question, they're always shouting out. And the funny thing is they're enthusiastic, they're eager, but oftentimes they haven't given those questions much thought. And secondly, other people don't get an opportunity to contribute. And you want people to contribute, the whole team to be thinking, and you want them to think about it. And if it's a good question, often it shouldn't take just 1 second before they have an answer. They should have to reflect on it and think about it for some of our questions. And so one of the things that I really encourage coaches to do is when posing a question to the team, to ask them to first think about it. Say, just, all right, guys, think about this real quick for a second. Don't answer. And then you ask your question, you know, and going back to the shot example, you know, what could we have done differently there in that last possession? You might ask them that question, but now you're saying, think about it, don't respond. And then you're scanning, you're looking, and then you just call on someone potentially at random. And there's the beauty of that is not only do you get everybody participating, you get people thinking for a little while about what would be the best option there, but also players on the team are more engaged during that kind of stoppage in the practice or the session because nobody knows who you're going to call on, so they always have to be at the ready. And that's just one of my favorite ways to get everyone engaged and involved in this collaborative thinking process in the practice.
That's a great way to keep all of your players accountable to the question is by sort of the veiled threat that I could call on anybody, you know, to answer it. I think another way to really amplify the engagement of your players when you're addressing the whole team to answer a question is simply having them talk to the person next to them. You know, hey, I'm going to give you 15 seconds to share with the guy next to you. How do we evaluate that shot? Now that forces everybody to give an answer or to have a quick conversation with someone next to them, two or, you know, in pairs or in groups of three. And then I'm going to call in a group rather than an individual. So some people may not be comfortable, you know, or confident in their answer to be able to share it individually. Now they're collaborating a little bit. There might be a little bit of a debate going on there, and you can get some different perspectives while, again, sort of forcing everybody to entertain the question by talking to somebody else. Another way I would start to challenge coaches as they venture out into using questions in their practices is to really think about, most of the time, JP, we use questions in a reflective manner. In other words, the examples that we've used here already about shot selection, we're looking back at something that has been done. And certainly there's tremendous value that can come from analyzing the decision, the perception, you know, whatever it might be. But I think when you're talking about engaging players with higher order questions, another way to do that is to ask predictive questions. So a simple way might be in your film sessions. If you're getting ready to play, another team's going to run a 1-2-1-1 full court press. I might show three or four clips of that to the team and then pause and then ask them, how do we want to attack this? Or what are going to be two or three keys for us to get through this pressure? Or what are areas, what are mistakes that we want to make sure that we avoid when we're attacking this press, right? So I'm asking them to predict forward, maybe before we've even gotten into the gym or before we've even started practicing against that particular defense. I'm engaging their minds, right, into the problem that we're going to have to solve. And when we think back to the original goal that we talked about at the opener of this episode, we want players to be able to problem solve in real time. Part of that is being able to predict. Part of that is being able to collaborate and be able to come up with some of their own solutions. So whatever they take, you know, we're going to fine tune that conversation, their answers a little bit, try to boil it down to, we don't want the ball to go in the corner and we want to be careful about throwing long passes. Great. Let's remember that when we get into the gym and we start working on press break. Okay. Then we go in, we start on press break and we say, all right, before we get started, this is kind of our success criteria that we've talked about in other episodes. What are the two things that we said were going to be key for getting through the press? No long passes, stay out of the corners. So we put them in the position then in practice to experiment in live play just based on those two principles that they came up with in the predictive conversation in the film room. And if they're successful, at the end of that segment, we may pause and say, all right, what worked? Like, we got through the press, we scored on the back end. We want them to try to understand why they were successful. And that may go beyond those two keys that we talked about at the beginning. Now, we also might discover as we're experimenting in this problem that it's not enough just to avoid long passes and stay out of the corners, that when we dribble and get trapped, we seem to get ourselves in some trouble. And so we may pause and say, all right, are there other things here that are not working for us? So we want to open it up, right, for them to be able to identify another key or another thing that we've discovered that isn't going to work against this press. And then we add that to our list and we go and we try again. And you'll notice that in these questions, I'm not necessarily saying don't ever dribble to this spot or always pass to this place. I'm not dictating their behaviors. We're trying to surface some principles, allow them to explore those principles in live play to be able to find a solution to get through this press for the game the next night.
That's a great example of using questions, you know, really from a tactical and kind of a technical aspect of, you know, with your team in the practice. I think it also is other things as well too, like, you know, Mark and Alan talk about behaviors. You got to get the behaviors first. And one of my favorite predictive questions is to ask a team, first off, you know, what is a successful practice look like for us today? You know, identifying some success criteria, but then following that up with, what's going to keep us from being successful today? If that is what success is for today, what are some of the obstacles that we're going to face today? And I think it's so powerful to have players articulate, well, there might be a, you know, it's a 2-hour practice, coach. I mean, it's going to be tough around the halfway mark there, or just other things like, oh, we're tired from yesterday. Just naming certain things that they see as obstacles helps them prepare mentally for those when they do come. And I think some predictive questions like that are really, really powerful. And I think, you know, all the examples that we've been giving, you know, we've been kind of talking about shot selection and, you know, breaking the press, more technical or tactical things, but they can also be applied to the behaviors.
JP, another way to frame that particular predictive question is to ask your team, who do we want to be when? In other words, we go into a game, you know who the officials are going to be, you know they're not going to be very good. So you ask your team in the pregame, who do we want to be when these officials screw up a call, right? In that moment of frustration, do we want to let that get us out of our game? Do we want to get distracted? Or are we just going to move on? Are we going to pull each other into the next play, literally? Are we going to let, you know, when the crowd is booing and they're getting on the officials, are we going to get caught up in that? Or who do we want to be in those moments? I think we want to just keep competing, but we let them talk about that, right? Or you're playing a team that's bigger, or you're playing a team that shoots it great. You know, they're going to make some threes. Who do we want to be? How do we want to respond? And you're asking those things in advance. Number one, similar to what you said, you're acknowledging the struggle ahead, the likely obstacles that you're going to face. And number two, you're relaxing some of your stress response systems because already you're starting to acknowledge and draw from ways to combat those future challenges. And there's a lot of psychological benefit we're not going to get into with that, but that can be really effective with your team as well. Now, there's another purpose to using questions that maybe goes beyond just educating your players or leading them to a place of discovery. And that is just as a method of gathering intelligence or information from your team. In other words, your decision-making as a coach, there are times where we just have blind spots where we don't necessarily know how the team's feeling, or we don't necessarily know how much of the information we're presenting or our system or our stuff is actually being absorbed. And so you can use questions, whether it's with your team leaders or asking your players before practice, just to get a sense of where they're at. You know, if you have a team that's really tired and you have a practice plan that has a lot of new learning, that's going to be a frustrating experience for everybody if you don't know where your team is at because you're not asking the right questions to inform your practice plan. And this reminds me of a story that Jeff Miller, the mental skills coach for the Phillies, told on our podcast here a couple of months ago about a pitcher, a young pitcher that he was working with that had lost his control. And so they asked Miller to meet with this pitcher, and he starts asking questions about kind of the time period when he just couldn't seem to throw strikes. And the pitcher tells him, well, my pitching coach told me that they want me to be more aggressive. And so Miller asked him, well, do you know what they meant by that? And he said, well, no, not really. I just pulled the bill of my cap down a little bit lower. I tried to look a little bit meaner to the batter, and I just tried to throw the ball as hard as I could. But when I started to overthrow, I lost my control. So Miller goes back to the pitching coach and he says, what did you mean when you wanted him to be more aggressive? And the pitching coach says, we wanted to use his fastball earlier in the count, particularly to challenge batters inside. And so he goes back to the pitcher and he said, did you know that that's what they meant? The pitcher had no idea, right? And no idea that they just wanted him to throw inside earlier in the count with his fastball. If the coach would have known, if the coach would have asked the question, pitcher, do you understand what we mean by being more aggressive? And the pitcher says, you mean look meaner on the mound? What would the coach have said? No. We want you to use your fastball, et cetera. But the coach never asked the question. And so for a month, this pitcher struggled. Nobody could figure it out. And it came down to a lack of information to inform the coach of how to best reach the player because the questions, the right questions to check for understanding, weren't being asked.
Well, that's a great point, Nate. But I think back to the number one challenge I think coaches face when they start using questions with their players and they start to make this change in their coaching style is that players start to do one of two things. First off, they just start to give the coach the answer that they think the coach wants, right? They just start to try to tell the coach what they think the coach wants to hear. Or players will get defensive or even a little bit of annoyed. They'll think, well, you're the coach. Just tell me what I'm supposed to do. And so you get kind of those responses often from the players. And that's what I kind of hear. So I think it's really important that we do two things. We need to take the time to explain why we are asking them questions. Why we do this. You know, just taking a moment to clarify that, you know, to kind of you know, prepare them for that. And we can explain in that process that sometimes we're going to ask questions because we want to help them discover the answers, right? The learning, right? Leading them with questions. And then you mentioned the other one there of helping them to explore, maybe because we don't even have all the information. And I think that's really, really important. When we're asking those exploring questions, I remember just last year working with a coach and around mid-season, around the Christmas break, he was concerned his players were tired. And so he asked them, hey, how are you guys feeling? Do you guys want to practice tomorrow? And they said, yeah, coach, we're good to go. Right? But they told him that because that's what they thought he wanted to hear, that, hey, we're tough, we can go through it. But he genuinely was trying to get a pulse of the team. Well, it came out later in the middle of that practice that, well, coach, we're just exhausted. And he said, well, why didn't you tell me this? Well, we didn't want to seem like soft or anything like that. You know, and so there's such power and being really transparent with your players that, hey, sometimes I'm asking questions because I'm trying to get you to think. And sometimes I'm asking you questions because I don't even have the answer. And I need you to help me to figure out what is best for our team.
Well, JP, I think that's a great point. And I know in my own experience of asking questions, you know, especially with younger players that maybe haven't played for me before, they've never been asked what they thought in the past. Like, they've never been asked about their opinion. How do we want to attack this press? Or how are we feeling today? Or do we want to condition today or tomorrow? They've never had input into some of those decisions before. And they legitimately don't know. They don't know what to say. They haven't really thought about it before. They've never been put in that place before. So I think your strategy there of really communicating, I value your input. I value your thoughts. I remember, you know, a freshman asked one of our seniors a couple of years ago, why does he keep asking me, what do I think? And the senior just laughed and she said, because he really wants to know what you think. Like, he cares about what we think and wants our input, you know, and it was just a foreign concept. So laying that groundwork, I think, can be really important. And the last thing I would say, JP, for coaches that are looking for a place to start is just operating from these two questions. When you're doing something in practice, you're doing a drill, you're playing a game, and you pause and you're in that transition period, rather than just running to the next drill, just stop and ask your team, all right, what worked? Or ask the winning team, what worked, right? Why were we successful? Why was your team successful there? Let them talk amongst themselves for 15 seconds and share, just to reinforce the things that work, right? You can also ask the same question from the other side, what didn't work? You know, if you're struggling against the press, if you can't figure this out, if a team gets blown out in a game in your practice, a 4-on-4 game, they get beat 10-1, well, what didn't work? Well, we couldn't stop the dribble, or they made all their shots. Well, is there anything else that, you know, we did that allowed that to happen, right? And you're just, these are simple reflective questions, but they're higher order questions. They're not those yes, no questions. And it's encouraging them to reflect on their experience before they transition into whatever you're doing next in your practices.
And just to add one more thing, Nate, that coaches can do with those questions that will make this an absolute game changer for you is to establish success criteria, like Alan Keene talked about in our previous episodes of the podcast, because it helps players to narrow their focus. So when you establish success criteria, what success looks like in this practice or this drill, then when you go to those questions of what worked, what didn't work, you're focusing only on those areas. Because when you ask those questions without really defining what success looks like or the focus, then they can go anywhere with it. And it becomes really, really challenging for them. But when you establish the success criteria, they're looking, they're scanning for it. They're prepared for those questions that will then come at the end of practice. All right, that's it for today's episode. If you're serious about becoming a transformational leader and building your team's culture, you might want to consider our mentorship program. Nate and I are fortunate to support dozens of coaches each year through our mentorship program, which has uniquely grown into a powerful community of transformational leaders all throughout the world at all levels and all sports. We are on a mission to grow together. Schedule a free initial call today. If you'd like to learn more, all you need to do is click on the link in the episode details of this podcast, or head on over to thriveonchallenge.com.